In today's gospel, Christ raises Lazarus from the dead. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. Because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And then when he said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Over the past couple of months, many of us, I'm sure, have watched the horrible environmental issues going on out in other parts of the country. First of all, California, those atmospheric bombs dumping snow and rain, and we've seen roofs collapsing and people trapped in their homes and floods and all that. And then just over the weekend, this past couple of days, those horrible tornadoes out in Missouri in the south. 24, 27 people killed, whole towns just turned into rubble. And we've watched those things, and we felt very bad for those people. We probably have prayed for them. We probably also, if you're like me, you said, "Thank God it's not here." But you know what those things, those events cause us to do, if we think about it? See what a great difference there is between being a witness to something and being a participant in it. We were witnesses to those things, but they really didn't affect us personally. If those things had happened here, and it was our roofs collapsing and our houses that had been destroyed, a whole different thing, right? But as it is, we're kind of observing it, but we're not actually participating in it. And there's a difference between being a witness and a participant in something. Well, I share that with you this morning because I think sometimes there's a real danger for us when we come to Mass to witness the Gospels, to watch them, to see what's going on in them, but not recognize that we're participating in them. We think, you know, Jesus did that for that person at that time. He did this, he said this for those people. But is he really saying it or doing it for us? Are we part of that in some way? The answer is yes. When Jesus speaks, acts, teaches, not just for the people of his own time, it's for all of us for all times. So we shouldn't really just be watchers of the gospel, so to speak. We have to put ourselves in them, recognize this is us. Today's a perfect example of that. As we sit here today, do we recognize, for example, that someday you and I will be Martha and Mary? Someday, maybe we've already experienced this. It'll be us who have lost a brother or a husband or a wife or a sibling or, God forbid, a child. We're the ones who are grieving. That's our story. And even more, someday, you and I will be Lazarus. You and I are going to be the ones put in the tomb. We're going to be there. It's our story. It's not just something we watch from afar. It's us. Jesus is what he does and says, he's addressing our situation. It's us. It was brought home to me rather powerfully a year or so ago. I was reading this article on a crisis that the children's television program Sesame Street faced a few years ago. Now, I only watch Sesame Street every other week now. I don't watch it every day, but this was a real crisis they faced. You might have read about this a few years ago now, some years ago. The actor, a man named Will Lee, who played Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street, died suddenly, unexpectedly. So the question that they faced was, how are they going to explain all this to the children who watch the program? What are they going to do? He won't be there anymore. So they called in child psychologists to advise them. Psychologists started by telling them what not to do. Don't say to the children in any way that Mr. Hooper got sick and died. Don't say that. Because not everybody who gets sick dies. And you don't want the children to think that when they get sick, they're going to die. So don't say that. Don't say that Mr. Hooper went to the hospital and died. Because a lot of people go to hospitals and don't die. Don't say that. Don't say that when you get old, you die. Because the children think their parents are old. And you don't want them thinking their parents are ready to leave this earthly coil, so to speak. So what should you do? Well, in one way or another, tell them that when people die, they don't come back. It's all right to be sad and to miss them and to remember all the good things they did for you. But they don't come back, and it's okay to be sad. So, what did they do on the episode? They had Big Bird come out with a whole bunch of sketches that he'd drawn of other members of the cast. And Big Bird went around passing out the sketches to all the other members of the cast, and they all said, "Oh, Big Bird, these are nice. This looks just like me. Thank you." Of course, after everything's said and done, he's got one sketch left. Mr. Hooper. So he says, "Where's Mr. Hooper? So I can give him his picture." The other members of the cast say, "Well, Big Bird, we told you Mr. Hooper died." "Oh, yeah, Well, I'll just keep it till he comes back." "Well, Big Bird, when people die, they don't come back. And it's okay, you can cry and be sad and miss him, but..." "Oh," Big Bird says, "they don't come back. I'm sad." That's the way they left it. They decided that they would not deal with any religious questions in this at all. It was too controversial, too convoluted to deal with that. That's the way they dealt with it. Now you see what they did? They kind of punted the question to those children's parents, right? Imagine the little kids watch this program. They come to their parents and they say, "Mr. Hooper's not coming back." That's right. "Where is he?" That's what a child would ask, wouldn't they? When their cat dies or their dog dies, what do they say to the parents? Where's Betsy gone? Where's Rufus? So parents have to answer that in some way, whatever, however they do it. I don't know how parents did it. It would differ, I'm sure, from one parent to another. But you know what I think it would have been wonderful if it had been possible, is to say something like this: "Big Bird, don't worry. It's true, Mr. Hooper died and he's not coming back here. But if he's a friend of Jesus, he's going someplace wonderful. If he's a friend of Jesus, he's going someplace better than any place we could ever think of. So he won't come back here, and we will miss him, but we don't have to cry for him so much because he's going someplace even better. That's where he is." See, that's what today's gospel is all about. That's what Jesus says to us today. Remember, some of you might remember, and you're probably going to see it again on television in the next week or so. Every year at this time when they put all those religious movies on, one of the ones they show almost every year is The Greatest Story Ever Told. Remember, that's the one some years ago now where Jesus was played by the great Swedish actor Max von Sydow. But the scene in that movie of the resurrection of Lazarus is very powerful. You see Jesus standing in front of the tomb. The stone is rolled back, and Jesus raises his arms, and he prays to the Father, and then he pauses. And he looks into the tomb, and he cries out, "Lazarus, come out!" The music starts. It swells. The music swells. Music swells. The music swells. And Lazarus comes out. See, that's not just us watching something. That's our story. That's your story and my story. That's what we believe is going to happen to us. We don't just watch that. We're sharers in that. We participate in that. Doesn't Jesus say it to us? "My flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Whoever feeds on me will live because of me, and I will raise you up. I will raise you up." Now, remember, in this particular gospel passage, Lazarus is not resurrected. He's reanimated. His soul is joined to his earthly body. Lazarus is brought back to life. Jesus has power over life in this world, yes. But remember, Lazarus was going to have to die again in this world. When Jesus raised him from the dead, he didn't resurrect him. He brought him back to life in this world. Lazarus was going to have to die again. But what Jesus promises in his power that he shows us that he has over death, he promises us more than just reanimation. He's going to share with us what happens to him in his resurrection. His body risen, glorified, transfigured, transformed forever. That's what Lazarus would one day face after he died again. That's what you and I hope for in the power of Christ. That's why this is our story. Not just something we watch and say, "Isn't that nice?" This is our story. Someday, who knows when, Jesus is going to stand in front of your tomb and my tomb. He's going to cry out, "Frank, Doug, Carol, Peter, Agnes, Herbert, come out. and we will come out to eternal life forever. Resurrected, transfigured, transformed forever. So, don't just watch today's gospel as an observer. Remember, it's your story. May God bless you.